Maseches Megillah Daf Beis Amud Beis, where we just finished talking about all of the different cities and when they have to read the Megillah, depending on whether or not they're walled cities, whether they're similar to Shushan Habira. When did they have to be walled? In the time of the Purim story, or did they have to be walled today? So that's the whole story that we discussed in previous weeks. Now we move a little bit further to a Gemara that seems to be completely unrelated to everything we've been talking about. Everything that we've spoken about is primarily revolving around the issue of Mikra Megillah. And here, three lines from the bottom of the Daf, from the bottom of the Amud Beis, the Gemara tells us, Amar of Yirmiyah v'Yitemer Abchia Bar Abba. And even though it seemingly doesn't fit into the pattern of what we've been talking about until now, the reason why it's here is because Rav Yirmiyah v'Yitemer Abchia Bar Abba is the same one that said the Memra right before this in the Gemara. So now the Gemara is going to bring us a whole bunch of things that he said as well, which don't really have a connection that is a obvious one. There are some mafreshim that try to explain what the connection is. I don't know. I'm not convinced that all of them are correct suggestions. Let's just leave it as the Gemara decides to bring another passage from the same Amora. So the Gemara tells us, Man sefach sofim amarum. What does that mean? What is the connection between Mem, Nun, Tzadi, Pei, and Chaf? Those are all the letters in the Hebrew alphabet that also have sophis, that also have a second letter when it's at the end of the word, so it's spelled a little bit differently. The letter is spelled differently. Now, just a very obvious point, Tosas asks in Masechet Shabbos as well, that why is it, if you're going chronologically in order of the alphabet, so it shouldn't be Mem, Nun, Tzadi, Pei, Chaf, it should be Chaf should be first, right? The Chaf comes first in the alphabet, so why does the Gemara give this very strange acronym that really doesn't fit according to the chronology of the alphabet of the Aleph Beis? So Tosas answers over here a little bit, but he writes it also in Masechet Shabbos that what it means, how do you translate the words? All of these letters, Sofim Amarum. What does it mean, Sofim Amarum? Sofim means the Nevi'im, who knew how to see. Those who knew how to see, a Navi was able to see clearly, and therefore they were the ones who instituted this idea of having the letter, if it's in the middle of a word, should be spelled one way, and if the letter is at the end of the word, it should be spelled a different way. So Tosas writes, in order to remind us that they were the ones who instituted this whole idea, so they are called, we refer to as Menan Safach. Why? Because Min Hat Sofim. That is to remind us that all of this came from the Tsofim, from the ones who were able to see from the Nevi'im. So that's the reason why the Chaf is at the end instead of being at the beginning. But either way, it doesn't make a difference. The Gemara tells us here, seemingly a pretty carefree statement, but it's going to cause major problems. How could it be, asked the Gemara, that they were the ones who started this idea of having the letters that are going to be spelled differently when they're at the end of a word, Vitizbara? How can that be? V'haksiv, don't we know it says in the Pasuk? Now, the Pasuk says, Eila HaMitzvos. What is Eila HaMitzvos? So if you have a Gemara in front of you, you look at the side of the Gemara and the new Gemara, as it says, Eila HaMitzvos Asher Tziva Hashem as Moshe El B'nei Yisrael Bahar Sinai. Really? Is that the pasuk that we're referring to? That's the end of Sefer Vayikra. Is that really the pasuk we're referring to? That's not clear. Look at the source sheet. I brought another pasuk that starts off Eila HaMitzvos, which is the very end of Sefer Bamidbar. And there we're told, Eila HaMitzvos V'HaMishpatim Asher Tziva Hashem B'Yad Moshe El B'nei Yisrael. That's somewhat summing up everything that Moshe Rabbeinu taught the Jewish people, because Devarim, as we know, was just a repeat. So Moshe Rabbeinu ends off Sefer Bamidbar by saying, Eila HaMitzvos HaMishpatim Asher Tziva Hashem B'Yad Moshe El B'nei Yisrael Ba'arvos Mo'av Al Yarden Yirechol. This is the end of the story that Moshe Rabbeinu taught all the mitzvahs to the Jewish people. So which Eila HaMitzvos are we referring to in our Gemara? That is not clear. The Maharsha is not sure at all exactly where this Eila HaMitzvos that our Gemara refers to is really coming from. So the Maharsha suggests something that sounds very understandable, and that is the second pasuk that we have here is the very end of Sefer Bamidbar. He says it would make sense that Moshe Rabbeinu at the end of Sefer Bamidbar is just summing everything up and saying, Eila HaMitzvos, this is everything that I've taught you in the name of the Ribono Shel Olam himself, this is the entirety of Torah, and from here on in, no one has the right to add anything else. So it makes sense that that's the pasuk Eila HaMitzvos that our Gemara is referring to. But the Maharsha leaves it like that, but we have a Sifra that says explicitly that we're referring to the first Eila HaMitzvos in Sefer Vayikra. So that's just...
Why does it matter?
Is this pasuk left to learn something else from, or do we need it for this? Meaning every word in the Torah we assume is there for a reason. So which Eila HaMitzvos are we talking about? So says the Gemara, what are we referring to? Eila HaMitzvos, what does it mean These are the mitzvahs, and this is what Moshe Rabbeinu tells the Jewish people. Says the Gemara, we learn from that word, Eila HaMitzvah She'en Navi Rashoi L'Chadish Davar Me'ata. That from here on in, Moshe Rabbeinu tells the Jewish people, and he warns them, no Navi has the right, no matter how great you are, no Navi has the right from here on in to institute any new halacha, to institute any new practice, to take away a halacha, nothing. A Navi doesn't have the right to change the Torah. Whatever the Torah is at this point is the way it's going to remain, is the way it's going to stay, and nothing's going to change. So writes the Marsho, it makes sense, not the Marsho, it's the Marsho there in Masechet Shabbos, where he writes, it would make sense that that's the finishing line of Sefer Bamidbar. Moshe Rabbeinu has finished teaching everything, and he says, this is it and nothing more. Doesn't understand, why would you say that that's the pasuk in Sefer Vayikra? It doesn't really seem to fit there in Vayikra. But as we said, the Sifra writes that that really is where we learn this from. Either way, we have a halacha that Ein HaNavi Rashoi L'Chadosh Davar Me'ata. A Navi does not have the right, does not have the ability to make any new institutions, to take anything and interpret it, not interpret it, but to say something new that was not known before. And therefore, he writes, how could it be that the Nevi'im came along and told us that you used to spell a letter Mem in one way, and now all of a sudden, if the Mem is at the end of the word, you have to spell it differently. So that means if you have a Sefer Torah that was spelled with a Mem at the end of the word, now it's going to be Pasul? So the Navi's coming along and being Mechadesh a new halacha. How does he have a right to do that? Isn't that a violation of the clear principle, Ein HaNavi Rashai L'Chadesh Davar Me'ata? So that's the question that the Gemara has. Baruch Ato Adonai Eloheinu Melech Olam Shehakol Nehiya Bidvaro. And the Gemara asks, not only are we bothered by the fact that the Nevi'im shouldn't have had a right to add on another mitzvah, to add on another, over here it's not another mitzvah, but it's a new halacha, a new spelling to a word, to a letter that we always knew. Thank you, Barry, for bringing this again. You don't have to bring every week. I'm drinking it because it's here, but I can do with that. And secondly, ask the Gemara Ha'amar of Chisda, Mem v'samach shabaluchos, the letters Mem and Samach that were in the Luchos, B'nais hayu omdim. What does it mean that they were there, standing with a nais, with a miracle? What was the miracle? So the Gemara explains, because, Rashi tells us here, because we know that the luchos were chakukim, they were mizeu mizehim ksuvim, they were written from both sides. So if you had a Jew who was standing on one side of Har Sinai or the other side of Har Sinai, wherever they were standing, they were able to read everything clearly. So that all makes sense when you have a letter where all of the letter that's hollowed out is going to be attached. But over here we have a mem, and you need to have the circle in the middle of the mem, or you have a samach, and you need to have a circle that's going to be solid in the middle of the samach in order to understand what it is. So how can that be? So the Gemara says it was benes. There was a floating piece of marble in the middle of the mem, in the middle of the samach, that made it visible, that made it readable, even though it really shouldn't have made sense that it was that way. So ask the Gemara, what do you mean? Mem and Samach were standing up with a miracle? The only way you were able to read them was because it was a miraculous piece of marble that was floating in the middle of the empty space. Why do you need a miracle? If at the time of Matan Torah they didn't have this end letter Mem that was spelled differently than the regular Mem, so then why do you need a miracle? The regular letter Mem doesn't need a miracle to be able to stand. It is a solid letter. Right? Does that make sense? So the Gemara asks two questions. Number one, how did the Nevi'im have a right to institute this new idea of spelling letters differently when they're at the end of the word? And number two, the Gemara asks, it doesn't really make sense, because we're told that when the Luchos were originally given, the Mem was standing in the Luchos with a miracle. Why do you need a miracle if it was just a regular Mem, and we didn't have this whole idea of the Mem at the end of the word? So that's the question that the Gemara asks. So the Gemara answers, in Mahave Havi, really at the times of Moshe Rabbeinu already, they had these N letters, Mem, Nun, Tzadi, Pei, and Chaf. However, he says, V'lo havi yadi hei be'emtza ha'teva ve'hei b'sof ha'teva. Everybody forgot whether you're supposed to put the solid Mem in the middle of the word or at the end of the word, and they weren't really sure. V'asu tzofim v'tiknu psuchim be'emtza teva ustumim b'sof ha'teva. And the Nevi'im came along and said, this is the way you use the mem when it's in the middle of a word, and this is the way you use the mem when it's at the end of the word. But they weren't mechadesh a new halacha, they weren't mechadesh a new way of spelling the letter. They just reinstituted the uncertainty that there always was all along, whether the mem should be spelled this way or that way. Ask the Gemara, what do you mean? That's still going to pose a problem. Sof sof, eila hamitzvah, she'en navi rashai. L'chadesh davar me'ata. It's still a problem. Why? Because, say, for example, Moshe Rabbeinu already had this idea of Mem, Nun, Tzadi, Pei, Chaf. are going to be spelled differently. Then the Jews didn't remember exactly how it's supposed to be spelled, and which way you do it, if it's in the middle, which way it's at the end. The Nevi'im came along and said, okay, this is the bottom line. When it's at the end, you spell it this way. When it's in the middle, you spell it that way. Which means the Nevi'im are saying from here on in, anyone who spells it the wrong way, we're going to get rid of that Sefer Torah. We have to fix it. So it means there'd be mechadish halacha that really was non-existent, because even though it was around at the time of Moshe Rabbeinu, since it wasn't clear and they were the ones who decided, seemingly arbitrarily, which way it should be, so that would be also a violation of the halacha of Ein Hanavi Rashai Lechadish Darameyata. Answers the Gemara, that's not really the case. Ella, what you have to explain is, Shakrum V'Chazru V'Yastim. Really what happened was that it was around all along. Moshe Rabbeinu taught it to the Jewish people and everybody knew it at the time. But then there came a time when everybody forgot. And then the Nevi'im just went back to the original thing that Moshe Rabbeinu himself had taught. It's not that they were mechadish or anything. It's that they just reinstituted what Moshe Rabbeinu had known all along and what he taught all along. And therefore, since just got forgotten along the way, they didn't do anything new. All they did was they reinstituted something that was around for a long time. So this is seemingly a very simple gemara, but it's a very problematic issue. Ein hanavi rashoi lechadish davar meyata. Where that applies and where perhaps it does not is a very complicated issue to know when the chachamim in a generation have a right to institute a new halacha, to institute a new mitzvah perhaps, and when perhaps they do not. When is it considered to be beyond their limitation of what they're able to do? Now this is a very important issue. Number one, the Chasam Sofer writes in a tshuva, if you look at number Gimel, when he discusses this issue that our Gemara raises, Ein hanavi rashoi lechadish davar meyata, says the Chasam Sofer, these two concepts, these two ideas, number one, that lo b'shamayim, that we believe that the Torah was not given, no, we believe it was given min ha-shamayim, that was a mistake, but we believe that once the Torah was given min ha-shamayim, now it's left to human beings. So we have the famous story, the Gemara Bar Metzia, where a Basco came out and said, we paskin like this, we paskin like that, and we don't answer the Basco, we don't listen to the Basco, because we assume that we own the Torah now, and whatever our understanding is what's going to be. And we don't follow the Basco Min HaShamayim that comes out and tells us which way should be the right way to paskin. The same thing we find, a problematic issue that I think the Chida and many other Achronim raise. Very often the Gemara says, Teku. When you have an issue in Bat Metzia, the Gemara says, Tishbi Yataritz Kushiyas V'Abayis. So the Gemara doesn't say that. The Gemara just says, Teku. And some Achronim say it means, Tishbi Yataritz, Eliyahu HaNavi is going to answer all of our problems that we had. So the question is, what do you mean, Lava Shamayim? How could Eliyahu HaNavi answer? He's not here. He's not a human being. He's a malach. So we don't paskin like Eliyahu HaNavi. Even if he comes and he tells me this is the halacha, why should I listen to him? So that's a major issue. That's a major problem. If we assume Lo B'Shamayim, how does Eliyahu HaNavi have the right to answer us? So the Chasam Sofer says in one shuva, maybe there's two Eliyahu HaNavis. He says Eliyahu HaNavi, there's Eliyahu HaNavi who comes in the form of a malach, then there's Eliyahu HaNavi who comes in the form of a human being. Two different things. And that's why Eliyahu HaNavi is allowed to come to all the brisim, even when they're on Shabbos. We say Eliyahu Malach HaBris, even though it's out of the Tchum, and how can he travel? Answer is, when he's coming to the bris, he's Eliyahu HaNavi. And when he's coming to answer our questions in the end of days, he's going to come as a human being. Eliyahu lo meis, the Gemara says in Bava Metzia. So that's the answer the Chasam Sofer gives. Trying to remember now. I think that's why they say, oh yeah, that's why some Mefarshim, I think Rav Shach writes like this somewhere, I forgot already where I saw it, that he says that's why the Gemara calls him here Tishbi. Tishbi Yataritz Kushiyas V'Abayis. He says, why do we call Eliyahu Navi by the name Tishbi? Why don't you call him Eliyahu? That's his name. So why do we say Teku is Tishbi Yataritz? He says the answer is, how do we refer to Rab Chaim? We say Rab Chaim Brisker. How do we refer to Rabbi Kiva Eger? We say Rabbi Kiva from Ginz. Or you refer to people, Rab Chaim Balazhin, or you refer to them by the name of their city. So he says, when we're talking about Eliyahu Navi coming as a human being to answer the questions, which is the only right that he has to answer all of those questions, we refer to him as Eliyahu from Tishbi, from the city that he was. Because he was a human being. At this stage, when he's coming to answer our questions, we need to refer to him as Eliyahu HaTishbi because we need to believe that he really was just a human being and not a malach at that time. Anyway, that's a discussion for another time. But says the Chasam Sofer, this idea, number one, that we have lo b'shamayim hi. And number two, what our Gemara says, that ein hanavi rashoi lechadish davar meyata, when you think about it, those two concepts are very much the same. That even when a Navi comes along and says, what do you mean I had a nevuah and I saw and God came to me in a dream and this is what everyone has to do, so we don't listen to him, lo b'shamayim. He can't change the laws of the Torah. If he says everyone should be Mechal HaShabbos, we don't listen. So writes the Chasam Sofer, this idea, Hu yisod v'shorish kol ha-Torah kula. Amazing. Writes the Chasam Sofer, this is the foundation. This is the most important part of everything that we believe in with regard to understanding what the Torah is all about. Di lav hachi. Because if one is not going to first believe in this concept that Ein Hanavi Rashai Lechadosh Davar Me'ata, that the Torah is what it is and no one has the right later on to switch anything, then he says, Ein Kan Torah Kla, we're left with nothing at all. So we can have members in every generation who come along and say, well, we think the mitzvah should be done this way, and we think the Avera should be taken away because it doesn't really apply to our generation. If that's what's going to happen after many generations, we're going to be left with a whole different set of laws than what Moshe Rabbeinu gave us. And therefore, says the Chasam Sofer, you first have to have this foundation set in stone. Ein Anovi Rashai Lechadosh Davar Me'ata, doesn't matter how much of a charismatic personality he might be. Doesn't matter how much he proves to you that he spoke to the Ribbono Shel Olam and he's a Navi and he knows everything. Doesn't make a difference. Bottom line is, anyone who comes later on and says we should change the laws of the Torah, we don't listen to them. Darei Kvar Haya Le'olamim. He says, this is a challenge that generations have had in all of the years of the history of the Jewish people. Diyamar Humina, the Gemara says in Masechah Shabbos, there was an apikoros, miyoma de galusa me'arichon. He said that from the day that the Jewish people went into galus, it's not this araisa de Moshe, the Torah of Moshe Rabbeinu no longer applies. V'isyayev araisa achrita. Now there's a new testament. Now there's a new Torah that is binding, and that's what we have to follow. We don't have to follow the old thing from Moshe Rabbeinu, that's outdated. And that was the story the Gemara says in Masechah Shabbos. And he writes that this continued to resurface in every generation, right? So Chasam Sofer, obviously in the 1800s, when he was living, there was Reform Judaism, and there was tremendous pressure to change many different things. And he says, Ve'efshar yasa osasum ovsam ayidei tachbulos v'kishuf, he says, somebody can come along and do all kinds of magic and prove to you. V'navi ha'yishme'ilim asokein, he says, Muhammad came along and he told them that he saw signs and he went up on top of the mountain and he had all these visions and he decided that he's going to make his own religion. V'shaptai tzvi, Amar, and Shabtai Tzvi said the same thing, that he also was a miraculous person. He also was somebody who was a Navi Shenes Hapcha, Mitzvahs, Menasum, Esen, Lavim, and Avin Esen. The personalities that we're describing have come along in many generations and said, this is not a mitzvah, this is a mitzvah, they're switching everything and doing whatever they arbitrarily decide. Va'afiluim lo namin kein b'chlalas ha-Torah. Even if you don't believe that the entirety of Torah changes, all the Navi's coming to tell you is, I'm going to change one mitzvah. I'm just going to say Shabbos should be done differently. I'm going to say Kashrus should be done a little differently. One little mitzvah, mikamakum, ein shum mitzvah shetishar b'matchunusa. He says, if this is the way you're going to go, if you're going to start believing these people who come along and tell you they had nevuah, he says, there's going to be no end to the tragedy, to the disaster that's going to come about. Kal echad yomar, everyone's going to come and say, chalom chalamti. Last night I had a dream, shechelev ze aser ve ze mutter. Someone's going to come and say, oh, the milk from this animal is kosher, the milk from that animal is not kosher, and everyone's going to be going along with their dreams, and then we're going to have a very different Torah than we're supposed to be following. V'zeh yomar kach, v'zeh yomar kach. Each person's going to say contradictory dreams. Every morning, somebody can wake up and say, I had a dream this way. Someone else can wake up and say, I had a dream that way. V'tofugat Torah, and that is going to destroy the entirety of Torah al-Kain. And therefore he says, Klala kayala kadosh baruch hu, God set out from the beginning, and he said, this is not the way it's going to work. We don't believe in dreams. We don't believe in all the kinds of things that someone might come along and tell you. It means nothing. What means something is what Moshe Rabbeinu taught us, and that's the way it's going to stay. Ein Hanavi Rashai Lechadosh Davar Me'ata. Doesn't matter how much you hold of that person, doesn't matter how much you respect that person, how enamored you are by them, nothing is going to change. Everything stays the same. And even if a person has a dream, and maybe it is Ruach HaKodesh in a dream, it doesn't make a difference. Shaharei Ein Hanavi Rashai Lechadosh Shum Mitzvah Mehishanos. And that, writes the Maharsha, makes a lot of sense. It makes a lot of sense that it was the pasuk in the end of Bamidbar where Moshe Rabbeinu was saying, this is the Torah and that's it. Because without that, writes the Chasam Sofer, you cannot have an observant community. It just wouldn't make sense. Yizbar v'yisparish min ha-shamayim ki im al-das chachme Yisrael v'zehu tzarech gadol. And therefore, writes the Chasam Sofer, this is really a fundamental principle that our Gemara teaches, and it's something everybody has to think about before we get into any discussion about observance of mitzvahs at all. So that is, I think, an important line from the Chasam Sofer. You can read the next paragraph on your own. But it's a very important discussion that our Gemara raises here. What are the limitations of the Chachamim, of a great Navi? What is the status of dreams, like the Chasam Sofer says? Lo b'shamayimi. I know my father always tells over the story that he said, I think it was about Reb Chaim Volozhiner, that there was a member of the community of Volozhin who came to him and said that he had a dream. That every day when he goes to work, he travels on a certain river. He takes a boat over the river to the other side, and then he comes back at night. So he said he had a dream last night that river that he goes on every day and the boat that he takes, he had a dream that it capsized in the middle of the river and he drowned and he lost his life. So Reb Chaim Volozhiner said, "Nah, divrei chalamos lamalam lo maridin." The Gemara says in Brachos, dreams don't mean anything, just ignore it, don't worry about it. Says, should I go to work tomorrow? Yeah, you should go to work tomorrow. Don't worry. Same dream, second night in a row. Comes back to Reb Chaim Volozhin. He says, I had the dream again. He says, nah, jivei chalomos lamalam lamaridim. Dreams don't mean anything. Just ignore it. Don't worry about it. Go to work. Comes back the third day. Same dream again. Asked Reb Chaim Volozhin, I had the dream three times in a row. He says, nah, narishkeit. Jivei chalomos lamalam lamaridim. Lo and behold, the next day he goes to work. And exactly as the dream said, he goes on this boat in the middle of that river, and the boat capsizes, and he drowned, and that was it. Comes to the shiva, everyone's wondering, new, what's Reb Chaim Volozhiner going to tell the kids? Right, what's he going to say? So Reb Chaim Volozhiner came to the shiva, and he sat there, and he said, if your father would come to me again, now, and tell me he had the same dream, I would still tell him to go on the boat. When it's a person's time to die, doesn't matter what it is, it has nothing to do with the dream. He's such a litvak. He said, it had nothing to do with the dream. Whether he had the dream or not, he was going to die that day. Whether he went on the river or not, he was going to end up dying. God decided that was his end, that was his end. So, dreams don't mean anything. That's what Chaim Volozhiner writes. That's the bottom line. And he took it pretty far to say that even when a person has a dream like that, you have nothing to be worried about. We do have an idea, a concept of Atavas Chalom, which means that someone's nervous about a dream and you have to be concerned. So the Chazon Ish writes, yeah, but it's only for the people who are nervous. If you're not the kind of person that's nervous about these kinds of things, you have nothing to worry about. I spent time yesterday in Great Neck. Unfortunately, there was a girl I was close with who passed away, and her family is Persian, and they're Sephardim, so everybody is very spiritual there. So it was like amazing how different members of the family were pulling me into a corner over the last week while the girl was very sick and telling me, I had a dream, don't tell anybody, but this is what it came up in the dream. And the other one said, this is my dream, and I had a dream 2 years ago and 3 years ago. Everybody's got their own dreams, and I'm just sitting there, I'm like, I'm the most litvish guy in the world. None of your dreams mean anything to me. When it's time for the girl to go, she's going to go. So it was interesting. Some people believe in these things and some people don't. I was raised not to believe in this at all, not to worry about it, but different people have different minhagim. So this statement of our Gemara is a very fundamental, a very important, a very central theme to everything that we believe in. The Rambam famously writes in the end of Maseches Sanhedrin, the Yud Gimel Ikari HaAmuna, as we have them in the Siddur, those are all patterned off of what the Rambam writes in the Pirush HaMishnayos, the 13 principles of faith. So the Rambam writes there, one of the important rules is, Zos HaTorah Lo Tehei Mechlefes, that this Torah will not change, and the Rambam fleshes it out in Hilchos Melachim, where he says that we learn that from our Gemara. We learn that from the fact that our Gemara says, Ein HaNavi Rashay LeChadish Davar, nothing is going to change. And that's what the Rambam writes. So the Balei Tanya explains, why is it so fundamentally important to believe that the Torah doesn't change? Why can't the Torah change? What's the difference? Why shouldn't we say that it evolves over time and we have a right to reevaluate in every generation what we believe as a consensus, not one person, but maybe as a consensus we should believe that things can change. So the Balei Tanya famously explains that the Torah is really a description. It's the only description that we have of the Ribono Shel Olam himself. We don't really have an understanding of the Ribono Shel Olam. So our understanding is, the better you come to an understanding of Torah, the more of an understanding you have of God himself, of the Ribono Shel Olam himself. And therefore writes the Balei Tanya, Hu v'chachmaso echad. He says, the Ribono Shel Olam and his Torah are really one. Because the Torah is really a description of what God's essence is all about. And therefore he says, if the Pasuk says, Ani Hashem lo shanisi, God himself is absolute and it just doesn't change. God is the same, he doesn't get angry, he's not happy, he's not sad, he's not upset, he's not frustrated. God remains the same all the time, and he doesn't change at all. Nothing is reconfigured, nothing is restructured in his life, so to speak. So therefore, the Torah cannot change either, because the Torah is the description of what God is all about. So that's the explanation of the Balei Tanya, and it's a very famous one. The problem is, this Rambam, and this understanding that we have, that Zos HaTorah Lo Tehei Mechlefes, is not always so true. And what I mean by that is the following. We do find examples of where things have changed. For one example, the Ramban writes in Parshas Bo, HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem Rosh Chodashim. The Ramban famously postulates that we have an obligation to call the names of the months by the names that they were supposed to be called. Chodesh HaRishon, Chodesh HaSheni, Chodesh HaShlishi, like the Torah refers to them, right? Whenever the Torah gives us a date, it says, BaChodesh HaTshi, BaChodesh HaRevi, that's the way the Torah refers to them. And yet, the Ramban writes that Kishalu Yisrael mi Babel, when the Jews returned back to Eretz Yisrael from Babel in the days of, as we spoke last week, in the days of Ezra HaSofer, he was the one who got the Jews to come back to Eretz Yisrael by the Churban, after the Churban Bayis Rishon. So in the days of Ezra HaSofer, it says that they brought new names for the months back to Eretz Yisrael with them. And no longer do they refer to the months as Chodesh HaRishon, Chodesh HaSheni, Chodesh HaShlishi, but now they refer to them as Nisan Iyar Sivan Tammuz. Why did that happen? So the Ramban explains, because they wanted to remember the days of Galus. And since these names originated throughout the community in Babel, so they wanted to bring them back to remember the days that they were stuck in Babel before they came back to the Yishuv in Eretz Yisrael. So the question is, how could it be that we change? If the Ramban's learning and teaching us that we have an absolute mitzvah to call the names of the months by the way they're supposed to be referred to, HaChodesh HaZalachem Rosh Chodashim, and that means that we have an obligation to refer to the months in a certain way. How can that have changed in the days of Ezra HaSofer? How can you say, don't we know, Ein HaNavi Rashai LeChadesh Davar Me'ata? A Navi doesn't have a right to do that. So how did Ezra HaSofer come along and make this new institution? We have, similarly, at Yalkut Shimoni, where the Yalkut tells us in Sefer Yeshaya, you look at number Dalet here, this is commenting on the pasuk of V'haya midei chodesh bechadsho midei shabbos b'shabbato yavo kol basar l'shtachavos lefanecha Hashem. So what does the Navi say? I think we read this on Shabbos Rosh Chodesh, or that's what? Machar Chodesh? Is that the Haftarah of Machar Chodesh, or that's the Haftarah of Shabbos Rosh Chodesh? Shabbos Rosh Chodesh. So the Navi tells us, this is the way it ends, I think, V'haya midei chodesh bechadsho will be when the Beis HaMikdash is going to be rebuilt, then every month, Umidei Shabbos b'Shabbato, Yavo kol basar l'shtachavos. Really? Everyone's going to come every Rosh Chodesh to do Aliyah L'Regel? Why? We only have a mitzvah Aliyah L'Regel on Pesach Shavuot Sukkos. So what are you telling me that we're going to come Yavo kol basar on Rosh Chodesh? What are you telling me Yavo kol basar on Shabbos? What is the interpretation of that pasuk? How do you even explain it? So the answer is, says the Yalkut Shimoni as follows. Zeshamar akasev masai avo ve'era pnei alokim. Amri Yisrael. Klal Yisrael says, Ribbono shel Olam, Emosai ata machzir lanu es hashchina. When are you going to come back? When are you going to give us a Beis HaMikdash again? We've been in Galus for too long. Amar Leah Kodesh Baruch Hu, God responds and he says, Bini, Ba'olam azeh ha'yisem olam gimel pa'amim b'shana. Back in the days of the first Beis HaMikdash, you used to go do Aliyah L'Regel only Pesach Shavuot Sukkos. Kshigia Kates, when we're going to have the third Beis HaMikdash, then, Atem asidim lios olim sham mechol chodesh v'chodesh, then you're going to have the opportunity to have the mitzvah Aliyah L'Regel every month. Every month. Everyone's going to have the chance to do Aliyah L'Regel every month. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, Ba'yami dechodesh bechadsho. What do you mean? So how can he say such a thing? The nature of the mitzvah Aliyah L'Regel is going to change from what it used to be? So it used to be we had a mitzvah of Aliyah L'Regel shalosh regalim. Now you're telling me we have a mitzvah Aliyah L'Regel 12 times a year? In a Shana Uberes 13 times a year, everyone has to be Aliyah L'Regel? So how can that be? How can something come later on? The Navi tells us in Sefer Yeshaya that now the nature of the mitzvah is going to change. How can it change? Whenever the Torah was given, the rules that were set at that time are the way they are. Nothing can change later on. And the Rishonim are bothered here on our daf as well. The Rashban, the Ritva, another Rishonim, they quote a Gemara in Maseches Sanhedrin daf Chaf Aleph, where the Gemara extols the virtues of Ezra HaSofer, and it says how Ezra HaSofer was really right to be the one who should have brought the Torah down from Har Sinai. If not for the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu came first, Ezra HaSofer would have been the one to give the Torah to the Jewish people. And yet the Gemara says that in the days of Ezra HaSofer, he did change something very significant. It says that he changed the way that we spell letters. They used to be spelled in a certain, what do you call that? It's not a certain language, a certain ksav. What is a ksav in English? What do you call it? What? Script. Thank you. A certain script. And now he changed the script that it should be different. How could it be? How could Ezra HaSofer come along and change the script for all posterity? Now you're going to have Sifrei Torah that are going to be written in Ezra's way instead of the original way. So all of these things are big issues. And there, the Rishonim try to explain, how is it that Ezra was allowed to do that? But over here, you're telling me that we wouldn't be allowed to change a mem, a nun, a chaf, a pei, and a tzadi to be different than we originally expected them to be. What's the difference? So the Rashba tries to explain it. Very difficult to explain all of these cases where we find that, yes, a law in the Torah actually does change from the original intent of what the law was meant to be. There is a very important question, and that is, the maskana of our Gemara is, the reason why mem, nun, tzadi, pei, and chaf is not a problem, is because the Nevi'im didn't invent the halacha. The Nevi'im just, as the Gemara calls it, Shakhum v'chazur yastum. This was always around from the days of Moshe Rabbeinu. Then it became forgotten. And then the Nevi'im came along and just reinstituted that which Moshe Rabbeinu had already taught us many generations earlier. So the problem with that is, the Achronim, I think the Chidah and many others, point us to a Gemara Meseches Tmura, Daf Tezayin. Now, Meseches Tmura is a very difficult Mesechta, but over there it has an Agadat Gemara right in the middle of all the difficulty in Meseches, in Kachim, where the Gemara says that Shloshes Alafim Alachas Nishtakhu Bimei Evlo Shal Moshe. In the days when they lost Moshe Rabbeinu, in the days when they were sitting Shiva, so to speak, for Moshe Rabbeinu, 3,000 halachas were forgotten. Can you imagine? 3,000 halachas were forgotten. Moshe Rabbeinu was sitting there his whole life teaching Torah to the Jewish people. That week he's gone, everything's forgotten. 3,000 halachas. The Torah Shabbat Chassav was there. But the Torah, whatever Moshe Rabbeinu, Halacha Moshe Misinai, 3,000 halachas were forgotten. Says the Gemara, they come to Shmuel HaNavi and they say, maybe you can do us a favor. You're a big Talmud Chacham. Maybe you can tell us, what are all those halachas that we forgot that Moshe Rabbeinu gave that everybody just over the generations couldn't remember anymore? So he says, Ein HaNavi Rashoi Lechadosh Davar Me'ata. Shmuel says, yes, I know the 3,000 halachas, but I can't share them with you. Why? Because I don't have a right to institute something that does not apply today. What do you mean? Our Gemara says the reason why the Nevi'im were allowed to institute Mem, Nun, Tzadi, Pei, and Chaf to be spelled differently is because this was always around from the days of Moshe Rabbeinu. It was forgotten for a period of time. What does it matter? Now the Nevi'im came along and just reinstituted that which Moshe Rabbeinu started many, many generations earlier. So how does the Gemara tell me in Maseches Tmura that when it came to the 3,000 halachas that were forgotten in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu, so the Gemara says that Shmuel HaNavi, Shmuel HaKatan felt he didn't have a right to reinstitute all of those halachas because Ein HaNavi Rashar LeChadosh Devar Me'ata. What do you mean? That's not Chiddush. You're not saying anything new. You're just telling us what you heard from back in the days when Moshe Rabbeinu was alive. What's the problem? So this is a very complicated issue and it's very difficult to really get a handle on. Where do we say this concept actually applies, that a Navi actually does not have a right to institute anything? And where perhaps do we say that maybe there is room? Or maybe he's just reinstituting something that existed a long time ago, and therefore he's not changing anything at all with regard to our practice of any particular mitzvah. My father writes in one of his svarim the following. Let's read it together because it's important and it's a little bit timely about Hanukkah and Purim, so we're in between Hanukkah and Purim, but it's a very relevant issue that's nogea to what we're talking about. The Megillah, Meseches Megillah Daf Yudalet tells us, Tanu Rabbanan, Mem Ches Nevi'im, they had a Mesorah that there were 48 Nevi'im, Vizayin Nevi'os, and 7 women who served as Nevi'im, Nisnabu Lehem LeYisrael. Throughout the history of the Jewish people, there were 48 Nevi'im and 7 female Nevi'os who gave over prophecy to the Jewish people. V'lo Paschu, V'lo Pachsu, V'lo Hosira, Masha Kasa Batar. But not one of these Nevi'im, of these 50 or so Nevi'im, not one of them ever changed, took away, or added to the laws of the Torah. Chutz, except for what's the notable exception? Mikra Megillah. Mikra Megillah. Mordechai and Esther were Nevi'im. All of a sudden, they institute this idea, Mikra Megillah. What do you mean? We never had a Purim before. Who came up with this idea? My Darush asked the Gemara, what right did Mordechai and Esther have to institute this new idea of Mikra Megillah? Answered the Gemara, Ma me avdus lecheiris amrinan shira. If you're going to tell me that when a person's life is in jeopardy and they end up being saved from that dangerous situation, they have to sing Shira. So certainly over here, you have to as well. What does that mean? Perish Rashi. B'yitzias Mitzrayim Amru Shira Alayam. When the Jewish people were enslaved in Mitzrayim, that was just going from Avdus Lecheiris. Mimisa Lechaim L'Kol Shekein, says Rashi. When, in the days of Mordechai and Esther, it was the Hashmid, the Harugul Abed, they wanted to destroy everyone, they wanted to kill everybody, so then certainly you have to sing Shira. So that's what Gemara says. We learn from Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu sang Shira as Yashir. Therefore, we have to sing Shira on the days of Purim as well. Look at the paragraph that comes after. Va'al pi pshuto nir lefarish. How do you explain this Gemara? What does it mean? De b'chol shar dinim de Rabbanan. All the other dinim de Rabbanan that we know of, lo chay shinan le'isir bal tosif. One can ask themselves, don't we have an isir in the Torah, an explicit prohibition, bal tosif? You're not allowed to add onto the mitzvah of Torah. So if there's an isur bal tosif, how do we have any mitzvahs midirabbanan? How do we have Chanukah and Purim and Atilas Yadayim? How do we have all these mitzvahs that we observe midirabbanan? Isn't that a violation of bal tosif? So he answers, Shaharei b'feirish amar Torah. The Torah said, Ushmartem es mishmarti. You should guide, you should make a guard for my mitzvahs. And the Gemara learns in Maseches Yevamos, Asu mishmeres lemishmarti. That means you have to put up a fence to ensure that no one will violate something that is far worse of a transgression. Shenitztavu chachamim, and from here we learn that the chachamim were tasked with laso siyag the Torah, with making siyagim, with making dinim derabbanan that are going to be a safeguard, muktzah, and all the different things that we have are a way of having people ensure that they will keep Shabbos better and they will keep other mitzvahs better. Ayin the Rambam and the Rashba and the Bir Agra that explain shekin ikar shekol she'osim epnei takanas chachamim. Any time that you're doing something that is not found in the Torah itself, but you're doing it because the Chachamim told you to do so, les be mishum bal tosif. Obviously, bal tosif doesn't apply there. Because the same Torah that told you bal tosif also told you, asu mishmeres lemishmarti, that when it's appropriate, the Chachamim should add a geder, a siyag, a mitzvah, something. So that was something that they were tasked with doing. So the same Torah that told them not to do also told them that in certain circumstances they should do. However, so why is the Gemara asked with regard to Neres Chanukah? B'nogei le'birchas halakas Neres Chanukah, hikshu b'gemara. The Gemara Maseches Shabbos, the Gemara Maseches Sukkah asks, hey chan tzivanu, when you light the Chanukah candles, what do you say? Answers the Gemara, you say, asher k'tshan mezot tzivanu, lahadik Neres Chanukah. Ask the Gemara, hey chan tzivanu, what do you mean? You look through Chumash, you won't find anywhere that it says to light Neres Chanukah. So why do we ask that question only about Neres Chanukah? Why don't we ask about other things as well? By Muktzah, why don't you say, Hechon Sivanu? Why are we keeping Muktzah, Hechon Sivanu? The answer is, the Ein Vener Chanukah Mishum Siag L'Shum Din Daraisa. Chanukah is not set up as an extension of any other mitzvah. Chanukah is on its own. The Chachamim came out of nowhere and made a new mitzvah of Chanukah. It's not an extension of Shabbos. It's not a safeguard to stop you from doing something far worse, from being Mechal Shabbos. No, not at all. Now, if that's the case, the Gemara asks, Hechon Sivanu? Isn't it a violation of Baal Tosef? How did they have a right to institute Chanukah? That's what the Gemara is asking. Not Hechon Sivanu, where do you find it in the Pasuk? Of course you don't find it. But the question is, how do the Chachamim have a right to institute a Chanukah when in fact the Torah says, Baal Tosef, you're not allowed to add anything? And the Gemara answers that they learned that from the Torah. I'm sorry, no, I just skipped. And the same applies by Megillah. Niskasha b'zeh gamke mei time. The Gemara asks, how do we have this idea of Megillah? My darush asked the Gemara, how do the Chacham know that having Mikra Megillah as a mitzvah and having Purim as a day that we have to observe the way we do, how do we know that that's something that's permissible? So what do you mean? Why is the Gemara asking my darush? What pasuk did they learn it from? What's the question? Chacham have a right to make an institution? The answer is no. The Chacham are also in violation of Baal Tosef unless they're adding something which is just a siyag, which is just a barrier that you don't violate something far worse. But over here where it's not a siyag, where it's just a standalone mitzvah of Mikra Megillah or Neiris Chanukah, that's specifically where the Gemara asked this question of Hechi Darish, where do we know this from? So this is what my father develops here. You can finish reading it on your own. That basically that's where the Gemara has the question only by the issue of Neiris Chanukah, and secondly we have it also by the issue of Mikra Megillah, because those are the only two cases where we have a new mitzvah midirabbanan that was instituted of lighting Chanukah candles, of observing Mikra Megillah and doing Purim the way we do, that is totally independent and it is not at all an extension of a mitzvah that we may have known from the Tariq Mitzvah HaTorah. A fundamental question that needs to be asked now that we're talking about Baal Tosef is, once we know there's a mitzvah of, there's an Isra of Baal Tosef, you're not allowed to add to the Mitzvah HaTorah, then why does our Gemara say, we learn from a different pasuk, Eila HaMitzvahs Ein HaNavi Rashai L'Chadish Davar. We know that already from Baal Tosef. You're not allowed to add to the Mitzvah HaTorah. Why do we need two pasukim to teach the same thing? So Rav Asher Weiss once told me very obviously that he believes perhaps the answer is, I think at the time he said there were a number of answers, I don't remember who he said it from, but he said that perhaps the answer is that if I just would have had the Isra of Baal Tosef, I would say that means for an average citizen, you don't have a right to say, wake up one day and say, oh, I had a dream. You don't have a right to wake up one day and say, you know, I think the Torah would be much more meaningful if we observed it this way or that way or the other way. You don't have a right to do that. That's Baal Tosef. We observe the Torah the way it is. That's Baal Tigra. We don't take away. We don't add. We keep the Torah the way it's supposed to be given. But what is to say that a Navi who has ways of proving that he's a Navi, a sincere Navi, who saw Beruach HaKodesh that perhaps the Torah should be observed in a different way than we're observing it, how do you know that that person doesn't have a right to change it? So he said, that's what we need our Gemara. That's what we need our Pasuk to say, Ein HaNavi Rashai L'Chadish. Even a Navi, not a regular person. Regular person we already know from Baal Tosef. A Navi is told, even you can prove it from today till tomorrow and say you have Nevuah, and you can say that you have all kinds of ways of proving that you have a Baal Ruach HaKodesh, and you have a dream and everything. Doesn't make a difference. Even a Navi doesn't have a right to make any chidushim, to make any shinuyim, to change anything from the way the Torah was given. I remember my father told me as a child a mashal from the Dubna Magid. He said that the Dubna Magid writes somewhere in his farm on Chumash that there were two neighbors who were very friendly with each other, and one neighbor goes to the other one day and he asks him, you know, I ran out of spoons in my house. I would like to borrow a spoon so that I can have my oatmeal, whatever it is. So the neighbor says, absolutely. And instead of giving him a little plastic spoon, comes back into him with a big silver spoon, you know, like something very fancy, much more than he asked for. So the neighbor says, thank you very much. I'll give it back to you when I'm done. Next day, when he gives it back to him, he gives him two silver spoons. So the neighbor says, why are you giving me two? I only gave you one. He says, the spoon had a baby. He says, okay, thank you very much. I appreciate your giving the baby to me as well. And he takes both spoons. Next day, he goes to his neighbor. He says, you know, I need a fork. Same thing happens. Instead of giving him a regular plastic fork, he gives him a big, elaborate, fancy fork. And he says, he can have it for the day. Bring it back to me tomorrow when you're done. Next day, he comes back to him with two fancy forks. He asked him, what's the second fork? He said, the fork had a baby last night in my house, and I decided to give you both of them. All right, so he takes both. Next day, he comes to him, he says, I would like to borrow a lamp. We ran out of lamps in our house. So he goes, he says, look, if this is the way it's working, I may as well give him the nicest thing I have. Everything's having babies. I may as well give him. So he gives him the fancy leichter that his wife bought when they got married, a whole big thing, gives it to the neighbor. Next day, he comes to the neighbor. He says, you know, what's going on? The neighbor says, I'm not done with it yet. Comes to him a week later. He says, no, it's time to give it back. He says, I'm sorry, I don't have it. He says, what do you mean you don't have it? He says, it died. So the guy starts yelling at him. He starts screaming. He says, oh, this God of look, you're telling me it died. Did anyone ever hear of a lamp that dies of a you know, menorah that's going to die? The thing is a piece of metal. He says, did anyone ever hear of a metal piece of metal having a baby? He says, the same way you took the spoon and you took the fork, the same way it can have a baby, it can also die. So that's what the Ibn Maggid explained. As silly as it is for the lamp to die, it's just as silly for the spoon to have a baby. So he says, the Baltosev and Baltigra, he writes that they are very much interconnected with one another. And the same way we have an issur of Baltosev, because by adding a spoon, you're going to end up that the lamp is going to die as well. So that's a chiddush of the Ibn Maggid, that the two halachas are interconnected. I think each one of them are really independent. Most understand that there's an issur baltosev, there's an issur baltigra. Even if you're not going to add or take away one dependent on the other, there's an issur regardless, because we assume that the Torah is perfect the way it is, and we have no reason, we have no right to start playing around and changing the laws of the Torah from the way we understood them originally when Moshe Rabbeinu gave us the Torah. And therefore we assume that baltosev applies and baltigra applies, and now we have a secondary issur, which is not only can an ordinary person not have the right to add or to take away from any mitzvahs of Torah, but also a Navi doesn't have a right to do that either. And the Gemara therefore is bothered, how did the Nevi'im come along and tell us that Mem, Nun, Tzadi, Pei, and Chaf are going to have different ways of spelling them when they're in the middle of a word or the end? Isn't that a violation of Ein HaNavi Rashai L'Chadash Dara Me'ata? Answers the Gemara, Shakhum V'Chazer V'Yastum. This is one of those cases where Moshe Rabbeinu had taught this many years ago. Then it became forgotten over the generations. And then Moshe Rabbeinu, since he was gone and it was forgotten, the Nevi'im just reinstituted that which was along from many, many generations previous. So,
it's
that they weren't